The Vape Passion Show, episode 78. In this episode, we're going to talk about an e-juice review of Dewy or Boba from Marina Vape, why you should consider using prepaid credit cards to buy vape gear, a new study says that vapors like flavors and cloud production, the Appropriations Committee approved spending bill with a pro-vape provision, the reality TV show Love Island switches cast to electronic cigarettes, and the dangers of using old batteries. Hey, welcome back to the Vape Passion Show. I'm Alex. This is episode 78, and I'm recording this on Monday, July 17th. If you're planning on buying a vape product anytime soon and you want to support the show, go to vapepassion.com/vendors and buy from one of those links. There are more than 50 popular vendors listed. I'll get a small commission for referring you, but it doesn't cost you anything extra. So I've been using the Juul all week, the PAX Juul, and I've been loving it. It looks like a long, fancy USB drive. After using it for a week nonstop, I can see how this would be a great tool for smokers just getting into vaping. It's small, it's easy to use, it's classy, the flavors are decent, and it delivers nicotine. This is the definition of a nicotine delivery device. The nicotine is strong at around 60 milligrams, but it's not the same as dripping 60 milligram e-juice, which would be a miserable experience. The power output and the e-juice formula make 60 milligrams vape really smooth. There is some throat hit though, which I actually think has more to do with the nicotine salt base of the e-juice rather than the strength of the nicotine, but if I try to double hit it to get more vapor, it'll make me cough. But yeah, it's a really cool portable device. And then I got an infrared thermometer from Amazon on Amazon Prime Day. It's from a company called eTech City, and it was only $12, so when I saw it, I just had to order it. It's not a high-end model, so it's not going to be extremely accurate, but it can still be useful when I compare temperature across a variety of devices. It'll be more useful over time after I've taken a bunch of readings that I can compare them all to. And then I also learned a good tip about using these lower-end models from Jay Hayes when I talked to him a while back. So with infrared thermometers, there's something called emissivity. Basically, it's how efficient a thermal reading device is based on the reflectivity of the surface it's measuring. A high-end thermometer can be adjusted if you know what value to set it at, but a lower-end model like mine is usually set at a fixed emissivity of 0.95. So a quick fix that electrical experts recommend to use to account for the different types of reflectiveness is to put a piece of black tape on the surface that you're measuring. The highest emissivity value is 0.99, and black electrical tape is nearly as high as you can get at a value of 0.97, so that will give you the most accurate reading. So that's that. And then one of my subscribers, Christy, thanked me for putting on this weekly show by sending me a bunch of e-juice. I haven't vaped any of it yet, but I went through it all the other night, and I checked out all the company's websites, took notes of the flavors, and yeah, it's been a long time since I've been this excited to try some e-juice. Christy mentioned to me that she isn't a fan of the marketing and flavors that are popular in the US, and that she found companies in the UK, Wales, and France that really appeal to her. And she definitely knows what she likes when it comes to e-juice. She sent me a bunch of boutique e-liquids from companies like Vaponaut, Foo, House of Liquids, and 206. And these are flavors like rich tobacco, Cuban tobacco, flavors with anise, flavors with floral tones, and also some e-juices with notes of whiskey, rum, and cognac. These are definitely flavors that you wouldn't find in a typical vape shop here in the U.S. So yeah, I'm really excited to try all of them. And thanks, Christy. Okay, so this week I have to skip the old school vape review segment just because I don't have enough time. I've got some fun retro stuff that I want to try out, but it'll have to wait. Hopefully I can get back on track with that next week. So as usual, I want to start the show out with an e-juice review. This week I'm going to review Dewy or Boba from Marina Vape. So this comes from the guys at marinavape.com who gave this to me for review. Marina Vape are the original creators of the Dewy Boba line, but had the name stolen from them, which is why they started OGNL brand with renamed e-liquids. That's why this one is called Dewy or Boba. So let's try it out. First, the bottle that I'm testing is a 3 milligram nicotine bottle of e-juice. It's 30 PG 70 VG. Marina Vape describes it as ripe, succulent honeydew melon blended with the perfect amount of boba milk tea. So let's see what it smells like. That smells really good. It actually reminds me a lot of Gwar Spew, the premium e-juice from Mount Baker Vapor, which is a very good e-juice. That's what this reminds me of. All right, so I'm vaping on the Predator 228 at, 99 watts. This is the Indie Duo on top at 0.30 ohms or 0.3 ohms. That's really good. It is sweet, but it's not overpowering. So this is supposed to taste like honeydew melon and boba milk tea. I don't know what boba milk tea tastes like. So unfortunately, I'm not going to be a good judge of that. I do get the honeydew flavor for sure. That comes through pretty well. I get another flavor. I don't know. It's got to be that boba milk tea. If that's what boba milk tea tastes like, then it must be pretty good because this is really good. So Yeah, I like this one quite a bit, actually. That bottle isn't going to last very long. This is good stuff. So Marina Vape only wholesales, so you'll need to buy this from another shop who carries it. I found it on Breezy.com in 30ml bottles for $14.99. Okay, now let's get into some other topics. The first topic I want to talk about this week is about why you should consider using prepaid credit cards to buy vape gear. When using your credit card online, there's always a risk of your card being compromised, and the more you use it, the more risk you take. There's just so many small vape shops online to buy from that those of us who buy often and look for deals often end up buying from many different shops every month. So there's been some recent news that customers of Wizard Labs have had their cards stolen, their credit cards, and some people are saying that they haven't used their cards at Wizard Labs in over a year. People have also reported that cards have been compromised at My Freedom Smokes a couple of weeks ago too. Most well-known sites in our industry have decent online security, but they aren't immune, just like huge companies like GameStop and Chipotle weren't immune earlier this year. But the vape industry seems to have become a big target for hackers, which is why I've started using PayPal for sites that accept it, or prepaid credit cards to buy vape products, or any products online for that matter. So you can get Visa gift cards in amounts of $50 or $100, for example, or you can buy reloadable MasterCard or Visa cards, and if these cards are ever compromised, they either no longer exist because you've used up all the money, or you'll only lose the remaining balance. And that's a hell of a lot better than losing hundreds of dollars on a personal card and having to go through that hassle of getting a new card and working with the fraud department at your bank. So in addition to getting those cards, you could also remove your credit card information from any sites that you have purchased from in the last couple of years. You might even want to reach out directly to the stores to request that they remove your information just to make sure that your financial information isn't still in some database somewhere. There are some drawbacks to using prepaid cards though. The first drawback is that they cost a little extra. For example, if you buy a prepaid gift card from the grocery store, you'll have to pay a fee to activate it, usually around $5 or $6 for a $50 or $100 card. Alternatively, you can get a reloadable card, which is less hassle and works much more like a regular credit or debit card, but it has a monthly fee, usually around $10, and also a fee of around $5 to add money to it. Some cards remove the monthly fee if you add $1,000 to the card every month, but you know, who's going to do that? So either way, you'll have to pay a fee. If you buy a ton of vape gear every month, it might make more sense to buy a reloadable card. If you're like me and you don't spend a lot, a once per month $100 gift card is probably more reasonable. Another drawback is that prepaid cards can be a little difficult to use sometimes. Not all online stores recognize prepaid cards as a credit card, in which case the payments won't go through. For example, I tried to order from GearBest.com a couple of days ago with a prepaid card and it wouldn't go through, even though I registered the card with the company that I got it from, which makes it act as close as possible to a normal credit card. GearBest wouldn't accept it, so I canceled my order, but I used it the next day with 101vape.com, so that's an issue that you might have to deal with. And finally, another drawback is that it can be a hassle when it comes to returns. If you use a prepaid card to make an order, toss the card when it's empty, and then find out later you need to make a return, you no longer have the card number if the store requires it to verify the return. That could mean that you're out of luck, or the store might be able to give you a store credit. So there are pros and cons with using prepaid cards. Okay, now let's talk a little science and research, if you want to call it that. So there's a new study that says that vapers like flavors and cloud production. So BiomedCentral.com just published the results of a study that sought to identify what makes e-liquid appealing. The study was created by researchers at the University of Arizona and was funded by the U.S. National Institute of Health, or NIH. The researchers mined data from JuiceDB.com, which is one of the largest online e-liquid review websites, and they extracted keywords that relate to e-juice. They also applied either negative or positive sentiment to the keywords, which is used to identify whether the person who wrote the review either liked or disliked the e-juice. The conclusions of the study are exactly what you'd think based on common sense. The researchers concluded that when e-juice reviews are positive, it's because vapers like the cloud production and the flavor. There's nothing really positive or negative about this study, except for that the researchers mentioned that the results could be useful to tobacco control groups so that they can develop better policies to suppress the attractive features of vaping. So it sounds like the research team developed this study for the purpose of regulating the vape industry, and they've clearly missed the whole point about how it helps smokers get away from cigarettes, but whatever. There are some interesting facts found in the data though. The most common flavor reviewed is cream, or e-juices with cream as a feature, followed by nuts, strawberry, vanilla, candy, and tobacco. The five least common flavors reviewed are pepper, cheese, pomegranate, plum, and wine. The five most common fruit flavors reviewed are strawberry, banana, apple, blueberry, and mango. And the top five flavors with the most positive sentiment are pomegranate, lime, vanilla, custard, and pear. The top five flavors with the most negative sentiment are grape, lemon, pepper, cherry, and orange. And the most popular mixed flavors are strawberry and cream, cream and vanilla, and cream and nuts. So there you go. Nothing really too interesting here, but I guess at least we learned that we probably shouldn't buy pepper, cheese, or wine-flavored e-juice. All right, the next topic. The Appropriations Committee approved spending bill with a pro-vape provision. So on July 12th, the House Appropriations Committee approved the fiscal year 2018 Agriculture Appropriations Bill that contains one big provision that would save the vape industry. This provision is section 753, which grandfathers in vaping products that were already on the market before the deeming date that took effect in August 2016. This legislation will also exempt premium and large cigars from having to go through the same approval process. So Democratic Party Representative Nita Lowey of New York argued against passing the legislation, stating that passing it would result in the FDA never being able to regulate these products ever again in the future. She also talked about how e-cigs hook kids on nicotine with flavors like Fruit Loops, and that study after study show high levels of formaldehyde in e-cigs. Obviously, she hasn't kept up on the research because all of her claims have been proven false in many newer studies. But despite her push to defend the current FDA rules, the legislation was passed by a vote of 30 to 22. Earlier this year, the Democratic Party succeeded in getting this language removed from the 2017 spending bill, but they lost by a big margin this time around. The bill now has committee approval to move forward, where it will now need to be voted on by the full House of Representatives, which is expected to happen on July 17th, which is today when I'm recording this, so I might be a little bit out of date by the time you get to watch this. Hopefully some good news coming in the next couple of days. And now for some news in pop culture. So the reality TV show Love Island switches their cast to electronic cigarettes. Love Island is a popular British dating reality TV show where contestants live in an isolated island where they are under constant video surveillance. The goal is to remain as a couple on the show throughout the series, and if someone is left single after the contestants recouple, they're booted off the show. So a recently booted contestant, Craig Lawson, opened up about the smoking habits on the show, which is so rampant that the show has actually been getting a large amount of complaints from viewers. Lawson explained that the producers give each contestant an allowance of 20 cigarettes per day, which has added up to about 200 cigarettes per day total. Lawson also stated that contestants are so bored that they constantly chain smoke, and if you've watched the show, you've probably noticed that too. Some viewers have asked why the show has a smoking segment, which producers said it actually isn't a smoking segment, it just happens to be that the cast is always smoking during important conversations. The popular UK vape company Totally Wicked saw the opportunity right in front of their eyes and reached out to the British Lung Foundation to partner up and give the cast members the option to vape instead. One cast member, Marcel Somerville, has been spotted vaping, so hopefully more follow his lead. I don't live in the UK, so I don't know that show. I haven't even heard of it. But I think it's good that they're giving all of these people the opportunity to vape rather than smoke. All right, and the final topic this week, the dangers of using old batteries. So I wanted to cover this topic because I think a lot of people forget or never learn some important aspects of proper battery care. So this time I want to talk about using old batteries because I know that a lot of people will try to use their batteries for as long as they can. With lithium-ion batteries, as they age, they start to lose capacity. They aren't able to hold as much charge as they did when they were new, and they will need to be charged more often. That's a good sign that you need to throw them away and buy new ones. You can still use your old batteries once they get old, but you need to use them more safely. That means no more super sub-ohming on an old cell. As your batteries get older, the internal resistance of the battery goes up. If you build your atomizers at low ohms and combine that with the increasing internal resistance of an old battery, you're risking battery failure. It doesn't matter if you're using a mech mod or regulated mod. If you're unsure if your batteries are at that point, you probably still have some time left before you need to get new ones because you'll know when your batteries are near the end of their life because they'll come off the charger hotter than normal or you'll get really annoyed at how often the batteries need to be charged. And I also want to point out that lithium-ion batteries age whether you use them or not. They have an average lifespan of 2 to 3 years, so don't stock up on batteries and expect them to work like brand new in a year or two. Just buy batteries when you need them. One of the reasons people switch to vaping is to save money from smoking. Unfortunately, many of us try to save money by stretching the life of our batteries for as long as we can. And I get it, batteries aren't a fun purchase. You'd rather put that money towards new vape gear. But batteries are only about $10 for a pair. A hospital bill can cost you thousands. Okay, that's all I have for this week. You'll find the show notes for this episode on vapepassion.com. Just do a search for episode 78. If you want to support this show, consider donating to my Patreon page at patreon.com/vapepassion. You can follow me on Twitter @vapepassion, and I'm also on Facebook. If you like the show, I'd love it if you gave me a review on iTunes. You can also catch the video version of the podcast on YouTube. If you're not already a subscriber, please subscribe. If you want to get notifications of new reviews or of the show, you can sign up to receive my weekly email on vapepassion.com. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me anytime or leave a comment on one of my videos. All right, I'll see you next week.